We are a podcast. This is our podcast. Listen to this podcast. This is the podcast. No other podcast. Only one podcast. This is the podcast. Sometimes I hate you. We are a podcast. This is our podcast. Listen to this podcast. This is the podcast. No other podcast. Only one podcast. This is the podcast. Sometimes I hate you.
What up, bitches? Welcome back to your favorite comedy variety podcast. This is Andy and Victor, and Sometimes I Hate You. It's been a while. It's been like 4 weeks since the last time we recorded an episode.
But guess what? We're still breathing.
As I've always said, the podcast comes out whenever the fuck we feel like. So,
and like, this is when that's the way it works. Like.
I don't know if I told you this. I made a commitment to myself to only upload episodes on the weeks after we record. So,
gaps of like no show.
Yes. So, not last week's episode, but the last episode we recorded is going to come out now this coming Friday. So, 2 days from now.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
And we recorded it a month ago. And then this episode will go up whenever the next one is recorded. And
it's fun.
So, that's kind of generally how I kind of keep my sanity, because like I have my creative stuff that I do, like I do my photography. I usually don't talk about the places like my family goes, just because it's more family oriented, and I don't know, like, who wants to hear about the 17th time we've gone to the fucking children's museum? I have a good time, but I don't think the listeners are gonna have a great time.
So, you know, instead, I'll tell you about it anyways, and they all as well just,
yeah, I mean, you guys are here, so. You know what the fuck you signed up for, but I've been in this not creative slump, but in this kind of creative, like, renaissance personally, where I want to make something and I don't have no fucking idea what I want. So I
you
told,
and I are in the same boat right now, actually.
I just realized that. Yeah. I just there's like a few different directions to go, and I just like, so when I beat Red Dead Redemption 2, and the minute I beat it, like the very moment the credits rolled, I was like, I don't know what I want to do, and I don't think I want to play a video game next. And the last time this happened to me was in like 2019, when I went like hard into book reading, and I was like, I'm just not going to play any video games for like 6 months.
I'm going to read tons of paper.
Exactly. And so like I reached out to you and I was like, hey Victor, what video game should I play? And you were like, Dragon's Dogma. So I bought Dragon's Dogma on Steam, because I have a copy on Switch, but I literally hate holding my Switch for any period of time whatsoever, especially after having handled the Steam Deck.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not fun to hold.
Like, even the because I also have the Backbone controller, and even the Backbone controller on my cell phone feels better than the Switch, which is funny because it has the exact same buttons and analog sticks. It's just the actual like curvy design is more ergonomic. So I'd rather hold that than the Switch, because the Switch is like holding a tablet with face buttons. I hate it. So,
you know what we need to do? Like, we need to do an exchange, because you got to send me some Star Wars comics. I have a fucking case that has a clip that makes your Switch more ergonomic with it.
I used to have one. I bought one from you during COVID and everything. I used to have one. I have zero reason to play my Switch. I installed a Switch emulator on my Steam Deck. So like any game that I haven't bought on Switch, I can just play on my Steam Deck. And then like any game that I have on Switch that I don't want to play, I just have a copy of it on my Steam Deck now. Like literally everything. So I have zero reason to interact with it on my Switch.
I see. But then I was like, fire and watch it burn.
And this close. It is technically the only version of offline Diablo I have, because if I want to play Diablo on PC or Xbox, I have to have a an always online connection to play the game.
You act like you're never always hooked up to the internet, except when your internet decides to not work. Yeah. Which has been a lot lately.
Dude, oh my god, my service provider is the absolute worst. Like, I was talking to my wife, and we have a roommate now, and I was like, all right, well, you just moved in, like literally the week she moves in. I was like, all right, well, you know, we have the internet service person coming to come like fix the internet. And this is after like a month long internet issues. Internet service person comes and he's like, oh, you guys are pretty cool. You guys like heavy metal. She's got tattoos and stuff. Like, you guys are cool. I can never get a throat tattoo, but like, I would love to. And I was like, all right, dude, whatever.
You're talking to us too much.
Fix the internet at my house. I have his phone number now, by the way. Oh, he was like, just take my number in case like anything anything goes wrong or whatever. And I was like, I'm not going to text you, dude. I know you just want to hang out, friends, but I'm not going to text you. But aside from that, yeah, our internet just goes out randomly. So something I told my roommate, I was like, you know what? The next time it goes out, we're just going to call AT&T and we're going to get fiber installed because there is fiber to our house. We just rolled with Spectrum because we had Spectrum. And that's been the worst mistake.
I've had AT&T fucking years now, dude. And honestly,
so I used to hate them and I still hate them for the most part. But at least at the house that we live in now, it literally is fiber to the door. So I can get 1 gig up, 1 gig down. So it's like,
that's fucking do it. Yeah, fucking.
Why not take it? But aside from that, yeah, I got out of playing Red Dead and I was like, I don't know what to play next. You recommended Dragon Dogma, bought Dragon's Dogma on my Steam Deck, never installed it, but never turned it on. And then installed Final Fantasy. Good old
progress.
And then installed Final Fantasy 15 and was like, this'll do.
What the fuck? You asked me for suggestions and go to the far left option.
What do you want for breakfast? I was thinking cereal. You know what? I got, what is this called? Crawfish.
What the fuck, Andy? Why'd you even ask me?
What, are you still going to eat it with milk? Yo,
fucking pour my milk on my crawfishios.
Ew.
So crunchy and seafoody. Mm-hmm.
Still eat them with a spoon. Like a fucking creep.
I can feel the whiskers tickle my nostrils as I swallow it.
I despise that. Oh man, you just reminded me. For the first time ever in my life, I've had sushi. Not meat sushi.
Like, wait, hold the fuck up.
Yeah, I know. I'm still a vegetarian. I had vegetarian sushi. My wife bought it from fucking Kroger, which is the equivalent to like
Food for Less.
Yeah. She swears there's Food for Less out here. I've never seen one in my life. All I see is Kroger. That's all that's here is Kroger. But she bought me some sushi and I ate it. And the first bite I had intentionally had wasabi on it. Aww. And I was like, I've never had wasabi before. I've never had sushi before. So let me have wasabi sushi.
How much did you put?
How much would you put on your toothbrush when you brush your teeth? Like with toothpaste.
Like a
wasabi.
Little tube.
I do
an inch long or so.
Yeah. So that's about how much wasabi I put
on.
Oh
man, on one piece of sushi?
One piece of sushi.
Did you see God?
I was like, what's wrong with my nose? What is this feeling?
It must have opened up crazy.
It was super weird. It was like having sharp objects climb into my my nasal passage and into my eye sockets. And I was like, what is this? Like, I know we just talked about fucking crawdads crawling in your nasal passages, but no, it was more of that.
You're supposed to, like, when you eat it, dude, you're supposed to take like a smear and smear it across the top, not a fucking toothpaste worth of fucking wasabi.
Yeah, I just did a toothpaste tube of wasabi.
It's a
and
little
then
caterpillar.
I even put the wasabi part directly against my tongue first. Like that's how the first bite was. And man, I was like, wow, that's intense and uncomfortable. And then so I just super was like, I don't want to eat that anymore. I ate the rest of the sushi. It was great. But fucking wasabi is honestly
not my jam.
I can't even say it's an acquired taste. I don't really understand it. Well, but the only thing I can think of is people with ghost peppers.
So
being like, this is good.
I mean, I do like ghost peppers, ahead. But wasabi is made. So the one that you most likely got, I guarantee the one that you got is actually fake wasabi. So what that is just horseradish ground up and pigmented green with some other shit inside of it. Real wasabi.
I thought it was still. Yeah, I thought it was still horseradish, but I thought a bit of real wasabi was mixed into the horseradish.
Nah, so real wasabi is the root that grows in like rivers in Japan and shit, and those fucking roots are like $200 an ounce. So that shit is some like next level shit. They slightly cut it with horseradish, but like very little, just to kind of enhance the flavor for it. But it's supposed to be like a way crisper, cleaner like taste in comparison to that fucking nasal.
What do you mean cleaner? Because that. Have you ever eaten a plant
and you're just like, fuck, this tastes so clean? Like, that's what it is.
No, fuck. Dude, like, you know what's crazy? So, like, there's a vegan restaurant I've taken you to it called Plumeria.
Yeah, man, you're trying to get my chance at night.
when I first became fucking vegetarian, my mom just saw that as, like, the biggest opportunity to be explorative with food. So she would find all of, like, the meat alternative places in San Diego, and one of them was a place called Plumeria. I fucking fell in love with that place. It's great. It's Thai food that's completely vegan. Well, now it's completely vegan. It used to be just fucking vegetarian, so you could get like eggs on your stuff. Now they don't even know. There's not even eggs in anything.
Full vegan over there now?
They're 100% vegan, which is very cool. But when I was there, I the fuck am I trying to say? God damn.
We were talking about wasabi and then clean tasting.
That's what it was. Thank you. My God. I literally was like, it was so good. I missed it.
Fucking a little chode going on thinking about that shit.
That was so good. I really missed Thai food. No. Yes. My mom was like, oh, wow. The nice thing about eating vegetarian food is it's so clean. It just makes me feel so good. And I'm literally eating this pile of like rice noodles covered in just like sweat that like
a yes, small it's vegetarian,
but you've seen it. Yeah. It's just brown wet liquid on top of fucking noodles. And then she's like, it's so clean. And I'm like, my rice is brown now because of my noodles.
And then they ask my you carrots, how spicy
my carrots are
10.
Fucking bathed yeah. in soy sauce. And also this is a 7 in spicy, so everything's blood red.
It looks like fire incarnate.
So like my definition of so clean, I fucking don't know. I have no idea.
That's what I'm telling you, man. Like, it's got to be like a like something that's not just slathered in fucking oil or sauce or goo. Like, it's just got to be a
but
nice
like,
crisp vegetable.
I am an oil sauce or goo kind of guy. Like,
I don't understand how to not put that stuff on my food.
No, like, I don't understand what is food without those. I have no idea. You're talking about plain white rice? I've never heard of it. Plain white rice covered in fucking honey vinegar, barbecue sauce also. Yeah.
Why is it that eat something like that?
I haven't, but I was thinking of things that would sound good together to me.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I came today. Fucking today for dinner, I got home and my wife is like, the baby already had dinner. He had French fries. He had French fries. No, I mean, it's fine. We kind of, we're such an active family. We do eat at different times. But she was like, he already had dinner. He ate French fries and fucking chicken nuggets because he just kept getting fed by our roommate who got like a 20 pack of chicken nuggets. And that's so he just chowed down on chicken nuggets. And I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go look in the freezer and see what's there. I have these vegan like orange chicken pieces that you put in. We put them in the air fryer, we brown them, and they got this like orange chicken sauce. I don't know,
orange,
fucking
sweet and sour
sauce. Yeah, thank you. And so I put the sweet and sour, like I put the chicken in.
Look, a good old vat of orange chicken sauce.
I had a quick moment where I was like, what if I just make macaroni and cheese, and like a whole box of macaroni and cheese, and put the orange chicken into the macaroni and cheese? That was an absolute 100% thought that I experienced. And then I was like, no, dude, nah, bro.
What's
you're trying to watch
you?
Your calorie intake.
And you
so
want to
be careful.
Eat your whole day's calories in one meal.
Dude, well, it's because like for so fucking long, that's how I ate. I used to not have breakfast, not have fucking lunch, and then dinner would just be like three cows and a dead guy.
It was up to you to decide which order you ate it in first.
Where'd you get these? I got them all in the back of a 7-Eleven covered in sauce.
Jeremy told me he has a bottle of extra sauce, so I poured it all over him. It's fucking delicious.
Got three cows, a dead guy, and a sprout for $15. It was great.
How did you get all of this for $15?
You ever try the pineapple bubblegum sprout. It's amazing. It's so citrusy, actually.
Yeah, that's, dude. That,
I feel like that would be your definition of clean tasting sprout.
I'm still fucking gross, but like I'd try better. Like today, you know what lunch was? You'll be proud of me. It was a strawberry dream monster energy ultra. So it's only 10 calories.
It's only 10 no calories. Sugar. And it's a strawberry dream.
Exactly. So there was that. And then I also had skinny pop kettle corn flavored.
Since when did you start kettle liking corn flavored cock skinny so pop? Much?
I've been a fan for a while. and then I had I think I told you about this. I got back on the Huel bandwagon. I'm drinking Huel on as often as I can. I forget about it on days that I work from home and stuff, but on my work days, I usually have a whole 16 ounces of Huel for lunch. What that means is it's only 400 calories and it's got all your nutritions. It says it on the box.
Bag. Do you still shit logs?
No, it's become better. It's eased off a little bit. What's crazy is so I have a calorie tracker thing, and it breaks down what kind of food, like how much of what is in your food.
Dude, you're not when even I drink 30 my fucking yet, and you're counting calories. What the fuck?
You should count your calories. I so you do, don't but I just like fucking count them in
my
head.
Not let me get my little calculator for my calories at.
Hey, I've actually done that on several occasions, mostly because my wife recommends it, but I've done it on several occasions either way. But what I was trying to say is that this is only 400 calories, and my favorite part is that I get the Huel Black Edition. And the special thing about Huel Black Edition is that it's lower carbs, because apparently it's keto friendly, so it's lower carbs. And my favorite thing is that it's got increased protein. It literally advertises it's got 80% of your daily protein. So in one 16 ounce cup of liquid, I can
That's
get
not liquid,
more
bro.
Than
you and I both know this.
It's more of a slurry. It's like what hot dogs look like before they're done being made. But yeah, in one 16 ounce cup of this liquid, it has, like I said, 80% of my daily protein intake. So like that has helped in making me feel a bit fuller. So that's the healthy Andy is Huel popcorn and Monster energy drink. Yeah. But it used, you know damn well I used to be worse. You know it.
Yeah, it used to be fucking green label Monster with fucking two packs of Pop Tarts. And then
don't forget when I got in that weird phase where I started picking up the Monster brand protein shakes, the Monster muscle milk protein shake things. I would just drink those room temperature. And then, I remember that.
And then
too.
It was peanut M&Ms that go along with those.
For fruit.
For fruit.
Yeah, because they're colorful like fruit.
Oh, this one tastes like blueberries. Oh, wait, it's just more chocolate and peanut.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm sorry. So I cut you off a while back, though. I was talking about getting into my creative zen mode again because I can't figure out what video game to play, so I picked up Final Fantasy.
And so, 15 of all, so you started playing the boy band like one.
It's also like legitimately one of the absolute worst Final Fantasies. If you want an RPG, don't pick up 15 because it's not an RPG. Not
it's
like
just
at
a hack
all.
And slash game that's got a big map. That's all it is.
Yep. It's a hack and slash with a bunch of stuff to collect, and the map is huge, but there's nothing to do in it.
It's all just
it's
fucking
so boring.
Dirt and shrubs. You might get a plateau where that one dude can cook for you.
we were looking at game completion on Xbox, and my wife said that she did up to chapter 5 or something like that in the game, and then I found out what's hilarious. So she played the game back in 2016, and then I was like, hey, it says Victor has this game, and I looked at yours, and I was like, why the fuck did Victor play Final Fantasy 15 in 2021 for 18 fucking hours? Like, that's just, all of that is really weird to me, because 2021, that was your breakup year. That was the year that your new relationship started with your fiance. That was the year that COVID was in full fucking swing, yep, and I barely saw you in person during that year. That was the year my baby was born, and for some fucking reason,
18 you're just hours like, of Final Fantasy 15.
Exactly. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
I've been thinking about getting back into it as is on top of that. But I was like, nah, I'll play Knights of the Old Republic.
Apparently, I own a version called the Windows Edition on Steam, which apparently has all of the expansions in it, I think. So that's Royal nice. Edition
on console.
Yeah, so the Windows Edition apparently is the same thing as the Royal Edition, but yours on Xbox says that you played the Windows Edition, and I'm like, how... What? Yeah, it says you and my wife both have fucking played that. And I was like,
it's
how?
One of those ones that does the what is it, the play anywhere thing where it's just like, hey, you own this on Xbox, you can play it on your Windows PC if you wanted to.
Maybe. I'm just like, but that's an entirely, I know it sounds like a not so different game name, but like Final Fantasy 15, the version that you got on release day is very different from Royal Edition. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Very much is.
Because Royal Edition is basically the game of the year with all the fucking expansions in it. So that made me go, oh man, I guess I'll try to play this with all the expansions. Apparently there's one missing expansion, so all the more reason for me to just stop trying to play Final Fantasy XV, because it's not even complete.
Dogma, dude. Fuck, I keep telling you.
I'm gonna debate it.
Debate it? You're just gonna sit there and stare at your computer and just, oh no, like, Victor recommended this, but like, I could just play Final Fantasy VII.
No, it has to be one of the dumb, weird ones. Final Fantasy 13, the fucking lightning returns. No weird action. That one's very weird. It's just God of War, but with lightning. As a creative outlet, I've been really interested. I want to make music, but I'm a bad musician because I'm just a singer and a guy with a keyboard who presses buttons. So I was like, I need to learn music for real. And so I was like, I have guitar sitting around the house. I could learn how to play guitar.
Do you know how many times in my life I've tried dabbling in that? It's one of those things that's always a failure.
I was like, nope, how about just go do something else? Guitar is too much work. Yep. And so, guitar is not too much work. This is, again, fucking Andy brain. This is how I do shit. I was like, I don't know how to play guitar very well, but I want to get better at playing guitar. And the way that I learned the most guitar was with Rocksmith 2014 on PS4. And so I was like, can I pirate a copy of Rocksmith 2014 on PC? Answer is yes, you can. And answer is also, there are people who have cracked versions with all the DLC. So you can just play all the music. Now, the hard part is the dumbest shit you've ever heard of.
The USB.
Need a real tone fucking quarter inch to USB cable from actual Rocksmith. And I was like, where the like fuck am I supposed to find this?
$80, aren't they?
They're basically gold on eBay. So I was like, I'm not spending. I literally just went the route to not spend any fucking money on this game. Why the hell would I spend money on a cord? And I've got like, I have enough useful high-end music shit to just plug it in. So then I was like, well, maybe somebody has engineered a piece of software to launch before you launch Rocksmith that detects an audio interface like the one this podcast is being recorded on and uses that as a True Tone cable instead. Now, the problem in this very weird and specific issue to have is that I have a audio interface with two inputs, which means that Rocksmith specifically sees two inputs and goes, I'm sorry, there's two inputs. You need to only use one True Tone cable. And I was like, I'm done. I'm fucking done trying to learn guitar, you bitches. Like, you got in my way at every possible chance. Like, I went fucking so hard in trying to figure out how to make this shit just work. And so I was like, you know what? Fuck it. And then I sent Kyle a link to my Amazon wish list, and it's just a drum set for $400. She was like, how the fuck are you supposed to put a drum set in this house? And I was like, I don't know. It's what I want. So now I just really want an electronic drum kit for fucking creative release.
You're crazy, bro.
I think so. I really think so.
It's just like, I wanted to fucking make music, but my stupid meat fingers only know how to press on the keyboard. Oh, wait. Yep. Guitar. I don't want to learn how to play guitar the proper way. Let me pirate Rocksmith 2014, the video game, the music teacher. Oh, and the one that comes with all the DLC. What do you mean I got to spend $80+ on an adapter? I will find software that will let me use something else to do so. What do you mean it works for two, but it only wants one? I am done with you, Rocksmith. I delete now. Now I want drums.
Dude, that's just, that. I don't know. That's how I make my decisions in life. I tried, Victor. I really fucking tried. Oh, so you said you've been in a creative slump. Please, I feel like I've been talking most of this episode.
No, you're good, dude. I mean, recently I got into Kit bashing a figure again. So there's that. I don't really care about dabbling.
Like another new figure?
Yeah, the one that I showed you recently.
Okay.
That one. But I mean, there's no need to go delve into that because I've already talked about those in the podcast before. I made a cool Pirates of the Caribbean shadow box, though, and I fucking flexed a lot of new shit that I've never fucking done before, so that was a cool little experience. Basically LED lights, cotton for clouds, photoshopping a background, kinetic sand.
And you got Photoshop back out?
Yeah, man.
Did you just sign up for an Adobe subscription?
Nah, I bought like a fucking
pirate copy.
I got a like semi-legit, I think, copy of like CS6 off eBay a long time ago for like $70. Oh. And it just works, so okay. I'm just gonna take it for what it is.
It will. You know what I need to get for you? I bet you'd be all right with it. There's a software. There's an open source software called GIMP that is the Photoshop equivalent with open source tools. Ooh. It's not exactly the same, but considering that you're using old ass Photoshop, I think you'd probably have a good time learning how to use GIMP. The tools translate pretty well, and it has a lot of similar features and stuff. Like, GIMP is too complicated for me, and so if you've got Photoshop experience, you'll be fine.
Oh, hell yeah. That's what's up, bro. So then
that's another talk for after the show.
That's definitely a thing. So yeah, it was just mashing together a whole bunch of shit. The main thing that came from this is I ordered a Pirates of the Caribbean. You know those like little dig chisel kit things that you get for kids, and it's like dig the thing out.
We literally just got one for the baby.
Yeah.
He hammered out a triceratops.
Exactly.
Made out of dirt.
So they had a Pirates of the Caribbean one that I ordered, and I was like, I can dig out skeleton men and have booty. So I did that, and then I had this the once I had
his turn around fiance come here
booty. But once I got the skeletons out, I was just like, that was fun, but what do I do with these fucking things now? Because now I just got pirate skeletons.
Just a bunch of dusty
purpose.
Pirates. Tiny dusty pirate skeletons.
So I was just like, fuck it, I'm just gonna make a shadow box since Pirates of the Caribbean, the ride, has become like an integral part of my relationship and my life now, so I'll as well fucking do that. And I did.
I dig it.
So that's what that turned into. And it's just a whole bunch of random shit that I'm still gonna be working on.
That's dope.
Thank you. I'm going to send you a picture of that while you vamp. I got you.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're good. I seem to hit things a little harder than maybe you do. I mean, you're physically creative, whereas I'm not so much. But I was like really tired of seeing kind of the same shit lately. So I was literally on lunch and my security specialist goes, hey, yeah, you're on your walk, because everybody knows that I just walk around with my camera downtown while I'm on my lunch break. So he goes, hey, you're on your walk. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you should go check out the water gardens. And I was like, the fuck's a water gardens? And he was like, it's down that street really far and to the right. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'll just no GPS it and walk over there and figure it out wherever it is. I did. I just walked down. There's a street. There's a convention center in fucking Fort Worth, Texas. It's not great. It's very small compared to San Diego. And so I walked down fucking 10th Avenue or whatever to the Fort Worth Convention Center. And he told me, he was like, just make a right at the convention center. And I did. And then I just kept on trucking on and just kept walking. And then I finally just noticed the place covered in a couple of homeless people and like a sweaty mom with like two babies and a stroller. And I was like,
this feels
like
right.
Closer to it. Yeah. Yeah, this seems like I'm in the right part of town. So I walked on a little further, and yep, sure enough, there's a place that has a sign that says Fort Worth Water Gardens. And so just conjure for me, if you can, what a water gardens is.
I imagine that it's like a park that has like a lot of either like fountains or those water things that shoot up into the air that kids like to run through at like random places, something along those lines.
That is that last one, what you said, that's exactly what I expected, was just like holes in the ground that shoot water up and stuff. I don't like that it's called water gardens, because when I got there, there are trees, a few of them, but there's no gardens to this place. It's basically just complicated, like, fountains, like large fountains. One of them is really cool. It's like a half a football in size, and it's just this like crater in the earth that has like stepping stones that people walk down. And apparently I heard after I went that people get like engagement photos taken in this thing, but it's basically just a giant whirlpool that you can walk into. That's made out of waterfalls.
So they should have just called it the the Texas fountain complex.
I was just like, it's called I was like, yeah, because it's very urban. Like there's no dirt, there's no rocks out. The whole area is made out of like these
concrete
pyramid style stuff, like pyramid style, like they're terracotta in color, but they're fucking like earthy, just like hard sharp edges. And so like they have things that look like sand dunes technically, but they're just a series of sharp edges that form like the kind of organic shapes of a sand dune. So the whole thing is like a modern art kind of structure with a bunch of water on it. But I was like, fuck it, I have been in this need to just kind of look around and see things, especially because I want to continue doing photography. Back in San Diego, I did a lot of street photography that focused on people. Out here, people don't walk around. There's not like any large gatherings of people. So all I have is instead to try to look at structure and shape and try to make something like artistically appealing in that way. So I was happy though, because I shared it earlier today, but I was able to capture one photo of a guy who was walking down into the center of this structure. Yeah. And I shot it at a like a half second capture, one frame per half second at my shutter speed, and I like slowed it fucking down, so he's basically just this ghost on steps. And so I thought it came out pretty good, and that was one of those times where I'm just like, executed it exactly how I wanted to, you know.
This was the purpose, like, just, this was the intent, it's on point. Yep,
exactly. Like it feels really good to be like, yep, that's exactly what I had in my head, and I did it right now. I made the head thing in real life, so that felt really good. And yeah, I got to look around this place, but other than that, I've been feeling like I really just need to make something. So I actually also today at lunch started working on a new writing project. So we'll see how it comes out. But I kind of wanted to go in a direction that, I mean, you've known me for long enough. I'm always really interested in the concept of like spirituality and like cults and weird shit like that. So okay. I'm going in that direction with something that I'm writing, still fiction. So we'll see. I'm in the research phase, and I'll give you an example of a couple of books. I got these from my wife and I need them for studying. There is Wicca, a guide for the solitary practitioner. I have the Book of Shadows. And I also have the Witch's Bible, a complete witch's handbook. And then I'll also be purchasing.
Get a copy of the Necronomicon. Got you, bro.
You think the Necronomicon is going to help me with this?
Because honestly, you just get into that weird, like, deep, super fictional culty shit where you're just like, yeah, you know what? It's so weird. It just works.
Tentacle monsters from space. Yeah, no, I just, I've been really fascinated with the idea of just like faith as a whole, or like I've talked about it for several years, but the idea of like a magical story that has like spiritual and religious magic instead of like Harry Potter style fucking fantastical high fantasy, magic. Not even high fantasy, just fantastical magic and stuff. Sense. So that's what I'm trying to avoid. And that's where I've been
grounded,
leaning.
But still like fictional as is for what it is.
I mean, it's fiction, but it's not, there's nothing ungrounded about it, I guess, is exactly what I should say. I wanted it to
You're
be
not
really
gonna expect like a
dumb
fucking dragon flying out of nowhere casting a spell or anything.
No,
like that.
Honestly, I kind of wanted to create the idea that like you're never certain whether or not magic is real in this story. So that's something I'm really excited to work
on. Someone's more or less just in the middle of the forest getting splayed open because they're trying to appease something to summon something else. Yeah, I got you, bro.
Exactly.
I
know where I'm coming from. You know exactly what I like. This guy knows.
Dude, it's worse. Like, what's worse is like, I have been in such like a, I guess like a consuming novels like mindset lately. I guess that's like the best way to put it. So I have my workbook, which is a Star Wars book about what happens to Kira during
like the book you read at work, right?
Yeah, not something I just read for work.
No. Because workbook is a different thing when you have a toddler. I was like, are you learning shapes and letters with fucking Star Wars characters?
No, yeah, totally. No, it's not that. So it's a book I read when I'm on break. And then basically it is a story of what happens with Han Solo's like little girlfriend from the Solo movie, but like her side of the story on what happens.
There's something that actually happens with that woman.
Yeah, dude, it's actually crazy.
I watched a portion of the Solo movie and I got to that part and I was like, what happened to that lady?
Yeah, no, it's actually like got a pretty crazy story going on. So it's basically her climb and the Crimson Dawn and like how she gets to the top and all that. So there's that. I'm reading Harry Potter at home because I got like the fancy Mina Lima ones where it's like the fucking ones where like the artist who normally does the cover work did like fucking pullouts and all that. So it's kind of like a more in-depth version of the book.
Is that the pop-up book?
Not necessarily a pop-up. It's someone that actually has like acceptance letters and shit for you to like look at and stuff like that.
Are you? Can we time out for a second? Yeah. Go get it.
Oh my God.
Go get it. Victor will return. We are recording a podcast and he is going to show me his book. He has been reading a version of Harry Potter that I think I actually own. And that's why I have asked him to go and get it. So we will wait and I will sing. This is a song about waiting on a Harry Potter book that will slowly return to the camera and we can look at it.
I have returned with the book.
I was singing. Did you hear me singing the whole fucking time? That's the nice thing about wireless headphones. One. I have that.
Yeah, so that is the one. It's not a pop-up book because there is a proper pop-up book, dude.
You can be a 32-year-old man with a pop-up book. I won't judge you.
I know, it's fine. I wouldn't consider it a pop-up book.
So I got that around last tax return. I got that for my son because I was like, fuck it, let's read Harry Potter at bedtime. And then he ripped out a few of the pop-outs and I was like,
maybe we should have rethought this.
I was like, I got the I should have gotten, there's those other ones that are like $30 and they're these just big ass, like every page is illustrated. Yeah. And I should have got that one. But instead I was like, these little pop-up books look cool. Yep. So I like it a lot. And so we read through the first physical Harry Potter that you have. Yeah. And then I got him the Chamber of Secrets, but that was right around the time that we moved. So I've been reading him that on my Kindle. I'm actually like at the end of Chamber of Secrets right now. Dope. This is my first time getting through Harry Potter. And I will tell you one thing. I know that I derailed the shit out of this. I was talking to one of my coworkers because she's a huge Harry Potter fan. I was like, does Rowling, J.K. Rowling, does she always refer to something that happened in the last book as a like just outright just retelling exactly what happened?
Verbatim.
And she was like, yeah, she does it every time. So
that's how you get just the fucking super long ass book at the end, dude. It's all the recounting.
A very stupid heads up. Just when you get to fucking the next one, you're going to be like, I read a fair amount of this. Like, it's just padding. The most nerve-wracking thing. It's the stupidest shit. So there's a first year who comes to school and Harry's like, oh, hey, like Harry's such a fucking cunt in the second book. But Harry's like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm famous. I'm Harry Potter. Hey, what's up, kid? And the kid's like, I'm a photographer and I'm actually just from the human world and I'm really excited to learn magic. And Harry's like, yeah, fucking whoop-de-doo. I don't care.
Whatever, dweeb.
Yeah, and Harry's like, I'm going to go practice sports now, bitch. And then he goes and the kid's like, wait, what sports? What are wizard sports? And Harry's like, oh, you've never heard of Quidditch, the game with, and then he just goes and explains the same shit, like the exact same shit that Wood in the first book explains to him. He just does it again, but to this random kid. And I was like, I was like, I don't even care about, at this point, I don't even care about Rowling. Like, the editors, because there are several for large scale publishing. Yeah. Somebody should have just been like, this is redundant. Unnecessary.
Redundant, unneeded information.
This is the second book, so I feel the people who should are reading understand it have it read right the now. First yeah. book. Yep.
That's the worst. So I got that going on, and then I... For some reason, could not find a physical copy of Star Wars Death Troopers for cheap. So I ended up taking the Audible route and I would listen to that. And then the prequel called Red Harvest. So basically that is just a book about a zombie virus in the Star Wars universe. And I was like, yeah, this is cool. I like this.
You just have a bunch of, I just love how many Star Wars, like, dude, you and me are entirely different on our reading stuff. Like,
yeah, man. It's like with me, it's like either horror shit or Star Wars. That's pretty, and now Harry Potter, but that's literally all I've been getting lately.
I either really want space wizards or I want monsters in London that come out at night and kill people because that sounds cool. or eldritch like beings wizards. Or kid wizards. Yeah. That's literally my bookshelf. Or The Witcher. That's there too.
That's still wizards.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So
yeah, what's interesting is I have been reading a horror book for the first time in a long time. I read Interview with a Vampire and was bored out of my fucking skull. And then I started, I'm reading a book called Only Good Indians, The Only Good Indians. I actually stumbled across it because the horror section in Barnes & Noble has like these tables. I don't know if you guys have a horror section at your Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, I just want to point out how much I hate that the horror section at Barnes & Noble is like half Stephen King.
Oh, okay. It all depends on which store you go to, because there's this store
we went to here are all Stephen King.
Yep, and that's because of apparently because I talked to a Barnes & Noble employee and they told me because I was like, wow, that's a lot of fucking Stephen King. And this is the Barnes & Noble that you and I used to go to in fucking La Mesa.
Okay.
And I was like, that's a lot of fucking Stephen King. And she goes, yeah, well, we just kind of put the books that like the employees like on the walls now, so because we got like a new Stephen CEO King. Who's a big reader. And I was like, so does that mean that you guys only like Stephen King? And
she goes, there's so much more.
Goes, well, I mean, it's just the most like we... I was like, yeah, you guys only like Stephen King is the answer. So, yes, there is so much more. But I do want to point out, Victor, as of, and this is a few years ago, Stephen King had over 85 published novels.
Yeah,
like,
man,
so
all there, dude.
The dude all can there. Fill a fucking, yeah, in, yeah, the dude can fill a fucking wall, but I get it. Like, either take some off or just have less of them. I don't really know how to explain it, but like reduce the size of the Stephen King section to less.
Because you know, like, their layout. There's two, their bookshelves, full size bookshelves, and two of the four of the horror section are all Stephen King. And I'm just like, God damn, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's why I really like my our local Barnes & Noble has so they have a not even recent, just small batch or lesser known horror table that is curated by the employees. And it's just random horror books that you may or may not have ever heard of. Like, I was really happy to see a couple of years ago watched a Netflix movie called The Ritual, and it's about a couple of friends who get fucking
fighting like,
attacked
a fucking
by
old
Norse god.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's actually a book. I didn't know that, but I found that out because of Barnes and Noble.
Yeah,
The Ritual is just on a table, and I was like, this book is not even new, so that's kind of cool
that they're actually giving it its little homage that it needs.
Exactly. And that's kind of been the case in at least the horror section at Barnes & Noble. So when we go there, I end up looking at the spines a lot, and cool. And that's actually how I discovered, like I said, The Only Good Indians. So far it's pretty cool. I don't really exactly know what's going to happen in it. It's technically a horror book, and it kind of shows you at certain times, because one of my favorite things about horror novels is they make you look at the problem.
Yeah.
And you can't turn away.
Yeah, there's no way, because you got to read through it.
So they make you just look at it and read through it. Exactly. And you're captive, essentially. And so that is something I really like. It's just horror, like all novels, they're not really one genre throughout, like all throughout.
Oh, yeah,
and horror kind of works that way, where the whole book isn't this one type of horror, and some of it will just be dry, or some of it will be commentary, some of it will be completely unrelated, like just fine, like just totally fine, nothing spooky or weird about it at all.
And it's more just like
atmospheric and stuff, and you're just like,
and that's kind of what's going on with this one. Like, I literally have no idea what's going on, other than there's the main character is a guy named Lewis, who is Native American. He grew up on a reservation and he left like 10 years ago to go marry a woman named PETA. And PETA is a white lady, and he works at a post office, drives a motorcycle, and lives at a rented house in like South Dakota. And
I'm trying to figure out where the horror comes into this.
My point exactly. And the only like thing that I can see that's like a horror thing so far is the way that the author writes, things will literally be like, you're seeing too much. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what the author does. Like, the reader are actually experiencing too much when you're seeing it, and the characters also feel that same amount of overwhelmed, or like they look at something that's bewildering and confusing and it stays there and it affects them and kind of haunts them. And for the character, the main character, he's actually the second character introduced in the book. The first one is a guy who actually gets literally like lynched by a mob of just white dudes. He works in like some mines in North Dakota or whatever, and grew up on the same reservation, knows this guy. And he like is hanging out in a bar. There's only one other Native American guy on their crew, and he doesn't even know him. And so he goes and gets ready to leave the bar, and the bartender's like, hey, you know, or not bartender, but the bouncer is like, hey, if you leave, these other guys are going to come in. You're going to have like an hour long wait before you can get back in there, because the bar is the only bar nearby and it's basically a work bar. So everybody goes there after work every day. So he's like, fuck it, I gotta go piss. So he goes outside, goes to piss, and when he's going to pee, it sounds like footsteps, like bootsteps are behind him. And he's like, the fuck? And he assumes that it's a bunch of white guys who got mad at him for eyeballing the white bartender behind the counter. I don't know when this book takes place either.
Like, okay. I'm not certain. So like there the time spans a little off.
There are cars, but if this was the 1960s versus the 1990s, those are very different time periods, so I can't tell exactly different. When it takes place. Nobody at this point has used a cell phone at all, so I don't have any way of determining exactly. And I actually really like that in storytelling, but either way, I don't know exactly when this is. But the so he goes to pee and thinks that these white guys are coming up behind him to be like, the fuck are you staring at that lady for, or whatever. But instead he turns around, it's a fucking elk. There's just an elk standing there in front of him, and he's like, what the fuck? And the elk is like, oh shit, I'm scared. it just fucking hops up and like busts on top of a bunch of cars, like just lands on fucking roofs, dude. And windshields and shit, and like these are all like apparently just fucking big dually trucks and just crazy trucks that, you know, white boys love. Mm-hmm. And so all these trucks get
diesel
fucked up
powered,
and then the
raw fucking screw the environment.
Yep, it needs to say Super Duty, right? No real truck.
It needs four tires in the back for extra traction.
What are you hauling? Nothing. Literally nothing.
I just like spending $1,000 on whenever I buy tires.
So the native dude is like, what the fuck? And he grabs a wrench, like a big ass pipe wrench, and he goes to swing it at the elk, because the elk comes running at him, and then just all of a sudden the elk's not there.
What the
at all.
Fuck?
Doesn't exist anymore. Oh, okay. It is not like it vanishes, it's just blink, not there. Or while literally staring at the same space, the elk
all
is
right,
not there.
So I can start seeing where that brings it into play then.
but then these trucks are all fucked up.
And someone's
so
gotta be
the white guys are like, who the fuck? And then they see him and they're like, we're gonna kick your ass. And then he hops a fucking fence and runs into like a prairie that's right outside of the general parking space. And while he's running through the prairie, there's a bunch of frozen grass, and then all of a sudden he just gets stopped by a fucking field full of just reflective elk eyes staring at him. Oh, and they're like, he can see that they are elks. He knows that's what they are. But they're just staring at him. And then the dudes come in and fucking murder his ass. And then the book kind of just jumps over to another dude named Lewis, who's dealing with weird issues. But Lewis's version is that he's climbing up a ladder to go and fix like something on the ceiling, and it's next to a ceiling fan. And when he's right there, his belly and hip, he has to like side skirt around the fucking the ceiling fan so it doesn't whop him in the fucking stomach, because he's just trying to fix something little really quick. And then he looks down and just sees an elk staring at him, and he knows she can't be there, but she's on the floor like laying on the ground.
Fuck?
And he's like, what the fuck? And he for a moment thinks that she's not real, because he remembers this specific elk. He and his friends hunted her and like cut her apart and gave her food out among their tribe like 10 years ago. And somehow though, she's sitting like laying on his floor in his living room, staring up directly at him. And then
I shit you out then, 10 years ago. What the fuck?
Yep, literally something that he says. he blinks and then she's just gone. And then he's like, oh, what the fuck? I mean, I gotta figure out if she's real. So he goes to check his freezer, and the skin that he cut off the elk is still in the freezer. And he's like, what the fuck is going on? And so, sorry. During this process, he gets so freaked out, he literally falls off the fucking ladder.
Yeah,
and
his
wife is literally at that same instant opening the door and is like, holy shit, and like sprints and tackles him midair. He like busts his fucking hip.
Jesus, and stuff. Dude.
So, yep. But that's not the crazy shit. Apparently, he's got a dog who just hops the fence. It's a 6 foot tall fence, and the dog is like 10 fucking years old, been hit by cars. It's an old dog. And the dog fucking apparently recently got into hopping the fence. So over the last 6 days straight, they come home from work and the dog is outside, like on the street or like out in front of the house. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? I swear this dog can just jump over the fence or something.
Yeah, so there's some weird and spiritual shit going on in that area.
Exactly. He brings his fucking, and this will be the last piece that I tell you, but he brings his buddies from the post office. And he's like, come on, let's all ride over there on our motorcycles and go look at my dog. He's old as shit, but he can fucking jump fences. He can basically fly. And they're like, we don't believe you, dude, but all right, we'll go to your house and look at this fucking dog. And so they go to his house and look for the dog. The minute they get out to the back, the dog is fucking nearly dead, being strangled by its own collar because it tried to hop over the fence while attached to a leash. And I was like,
man,
like you just assaulted my brain.
Yeah, dude, that really sounds quick. Like it's all just like, let's just fuck with your brain for a little bit while you read this book. Yep.
So that's what I've been experiencing, and I'm like, what's so scary about elk? But then I'm like, I don't know, something. I was telling my wife that my really big concern is the same thing as when I watched. There's a movie called The Fourth Kind, and in the movie The Fourth Kind, they talk about alien encounters of the first, second, and third kind. Third kind is interacting, like talking to and seeing an alien and like being fully abducted and stuff. The fourth kind is a higher level of abduction, which is more harassment from an alien or aliens. No, it's much, much worse. If you've never seen the movie, the fourth kind, it plays out like a dramatic retelling of the events that happened. Uh-huh. Because the people who it all happened to are dead and gone.
Oh,
they're
shit.
Just gone. We don't know what the fuck happened to them. But the events are being told by fucking Mila Jovovich, the fucking lady from Alien. Or sorry, from Resident Evil. Yeah, Mila Jovovich plays, like, she's like the main character who's like retelling the story. But then they'll clip over to like actual footage from the actual documentary that was being shot. And you'll see like the craziest, most disturbing shit you've ever seen. And one of the worst things is an interview with a woman. She's talking about she's being like hypnotized and being forced to recall a memory. And this is every time I think about this, it gives me fucking chills on my like fucking back and face, because this is an actual real interview with a real woman while she's hypnotized. And they ask her, you know, what do you see? And she says, I see an owl outside of my bedroom. And they're like, OK, well, when you get closer, what does the owl do? And she says, it's just looking at me. It's not an owl. It looks like an owl, but it's not an owl. And whatever it is, it's not looking at me, it's watching me. And you're like, oh,
I like that.
You take so that back. That's what I'm most concerned about in this, because that's like been some of the most like fucked up my own mind imagery that I've ever experienced.
It's like that discomforting, like, man, something could just be right there and I don't even actually realize it. And it's just been watching
like when
the
you're actually
time.
Thinking about like, What's like, dude? Oh man, I remember when I was younger, I was reading fucking creepypastas online, and I would literally, I'd be in a dark room with just a computer monitor in my face, and then I could see my bedroom door, and beyond that, just
pitch black. Yeah, and you're just like, there could be something in there, and I have no idea.
And I'd be like, I'm just gonna shut this door. Hopefully the finger monsters don't come and get me while I sleep.
I don't want them to come touching my toes.
But yeah, that's what I've been up to, is reading that fucking book.
Oh, that sounds crazy.
I'll let you know how it goes, but it's a lot better than fucking Interview with a Vampire. I did not have a great time with that.
Yeah, that's what happened with me when I was finishing The King in Yellow. Because I told you, it's like a compilation of a whole bunch of like weird stories. And then I discovered, because I read like one of the last, like probably third to last story, I was like, the fuck does this have anything to do with the weird cosmic horror that's supposed to be going on in this? So then I looked into it and I was just like, motherfuckers.
I'm seeing your shadow box for the first time. That's fucking sick.
Thanks, dude.
I love that. Yeah,
that's I put some fucking effort into that one.
Yep. I dig it.
So like the last story that I read was like about this dude during like one of the wars and whatnot, and like his town got invaded and all this shit. And I was just like, what does this have to do with weird cosmic entity and space and all that? So then I looked into the story because like maybe there's just something I didn't grasp. So I went on Google, and then people were just like, yeah, sometimes the publisher likes to just throw in some of his other writings just to pad the book out to make it longer. You're pretty much done.
That's bullshit.
And I was like, you motherfuckers. And I looked.
You didn't even fucking tell
there
me.
There were still like three more stories that were not related to the King in Yellow story arc at all. And I was just like, all right, I'm done with this book. So I just took my bookmark out, closed it, put it back on the shelf. I was like, I am not here for that shit.
I 100% know that feeling. It happened with Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. That's the
really?
Third part of Lord of the Rings. 50% of the book is what happens to the kids of the people in the main
That's
book.
So
and I was like, I'm good.
Dumb.
I'm fucking done. Like, I don't need to know what happened to fucking Aragorn's grandkids.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit.
It's like, I was here for and the present, not that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, it's the same fucking, like, same author, same caliber of storytelling. But I was like, nah, dude, I'm out. Like, Frodo's gone. He went across the fucking sea. Like, I'm good. Don't just come telling me about fucking some random dude's grandkids. Fucking what?
Yeah, and I'm like, I get an epilogue, like, sure. But, like, y'all didn't even connect this. You're like, let's just pad this book out and make it seem longer
than
it is.
It's not even an epilogue. Yeah. It's just some stuff. We just put some stuff in the back.
We put more words.
Yo, do you have those? Do you have those fucking notes that you were taking in the middle of that coffee shop? Can you just staple them in the back of the book? You know what? Okay. I'm gonna type out what I see.
I added another 20 pages. I think we could charge $2 more.
That is crazy.
Yeah, dude. I was so fucking mad because I spent like 3 good lunch breaks reading that story, and I was just like, what the fuck? Nothing happened. Where's the cosmic horror part?
There isn't any.
And they're like, ah, joke's on you. This is just war fiction. And I was like, no, I don't want this. This is not what I bought this book for.
It's fine. You know what you need to do? You need to go in your little library and you just rip out
those
the back
pages
page of the book. Just not even those pages. Just take off the back chunk of the book. Remove the back cover and everything. And you, that way, one day when you're like, I want to reread it, and you're like, what the fuck happened here? But when you get to that, you're like, thanks, past me. You solved
what's
it.
What's gonna be even worse?
Done.
Someone's gonna find it like years down the line. We're like, oh, the pages must have been ripped out. This must have been where the book got so horrible.
The craziest story. Yeah.
It's lost knowledge that we'll never have.
Yep. Yeah, your fucking grandkids are like, we need to go find it. But all that exists are fucking digital ebook files. And I can't find the back half of the book. And it obviously they don't get published in
exactly.
digital ebooks because it's the regular real book. So then you just got these idiots on a treasure hunt who are like, what did Grandpa say? I don't know.
Is this why he was crazy?
What happened to him? Is this why his eyes just rolled backwards all the time?
And he was chanting?
Forever.
No, this is bad fiction.
You don't even currently have any kids, which means you'd have to be in that atrocious state, both making and raising children
after tearing out the back of the shit padding book. Oh man, that is fucking good.
I like the idea of your eyes in a perpetual state of in frustration. You're just like, oh, for 3 years. Is he okay? Yeah, he read the rest of The King in Yellow and found out it's a different book.
They just put it in there because it felt like it.
All right. Well, that has been Sometimes I Hate You. This is a comedy variety podcast. It comes around when the fuck we feel like. I'm Andy, and always is Victor.
The didgeridoo.
We want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to take a look at, I don't know, my photography, you can find me at Barely a Person Photo on Instagram. And that's basically it. Dude, I got to teach you tube and throat singing for damn sure.
I was just trying to make didgeridoo sounds, man. You brought in a whole different thing.
You gotta be like that. What is that called? There's a Aboriginal deity who just blew into his dick and made didgeridoo noises. Go do that. Go blow into your penis on the podcast. What's worse is it like inflates, but like, do you remember in Shrek there's that scene where he just grabs a snake and grabs a frog and blows air into them and makes them into a balloon? Your dick just turns into that inflated frog.
That is the absolute worst.
All right, I'm done recording this. It's gotten stupid.